4:48, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on this Friday afternoon. Been kind of a gloomy day here weather-wise and a gloomy day across the nation as a result of the shooting, the massacre in Colorado last night at a midnight showing of the new Batman movie. Now, Washington Times reporter Valerie Richardson is based in Colorado, and she joins me now. Hi, Valerie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Andy?
I'm doing just fine. You know the area. It's not exactly a crime zone, Aurora, Colorado, is it?
No, it's a very large community. It's over 300,000 people. It's one of the largest in Colorado, actually. It was often considered a suburb of Denver, like an eastern suburb of Denver, but it's so big now that it's really, you know, rivals a lot of the bigger cities in the state.
Yeah. All right, so what have we found out about this suspect, James Egan Holmes, over the past few hours? Anything new?
Yeah, he apparently is somebody who doesn't have a big criminal record. They say he's got one speeding ticket in Aurora, but he hasn't lived in Colorado that long. He moved here about a year ago to enter a PhD program in neuroscience at the University of Colorado Denver. Their campus for their med school is in Aurora, near where he was living and where the shooting took place. And apparently his family lives in San Diego, and they're coming out to see what's going on. It sounds like he's a smart guy. I mean, he's getting a PhD in neuroscience, but it also sounds like, you know, obviously he's pretty disturbed.
Yeah. Now, I understand he either quit or was pushed out of medical school about a month ago. Do we have any clarity on that?
Just that he is withdrawing, apparently, from the program. And I'm not really sure if that means somebody told him he needed to leave or if he decided to leave on his own volition. But they did say that in May, which is fairly recently, he was a presenter on a paper on psychological and physical aberrations.
Sounds like he falls into that category.
Yeah. All right, so sort of a normal psychology paper. So it sounds like, you know, as recently as May, he was in pretty good standing, so I'm not really sure what happened there.
Yeah. Any fellow students or friends come forward to discuss him and his perhaps a changing attitude or something?
Well, so far I haven't heard a lot in Colorado. I think in San Diego, the reporters there may know more about him because that's where he went to high school and that's where his parents live. That's the only one that I've seen here in Colorado is a fellow who's a bartender at a bar very near where James Holmes was living. And apparently he would come in every Friday for karaoke night and he would sit there by himself and wasn't very sociable. It sounds like your classic loner. But it does sound like he doesn't. So far, I haven't seen a lot of friends pop up, but it doesn't sound like he was real sociable.
Yeah. Any information as to where he got the guns, or if he happened to be in guns before he ever got to Colorado?
Well, we're still trying to find that out, but it doesn't. So far, they haven't been able to find him registered with these guns. These guns mm-hmm. could have been illegally acquired.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like he's on record at this point. Now that something could pop up, but right now it doesn't look like he has these guns through legal channels.
Mm-hmm. Now I understand that he was in a SWAT team type getup. You know, he had all the gear necessary for being someone who was affiliated with a SWAT team.
Yeah, he was dressed in full black tactical gear. I mean, he had on the leggings, as they call them. He had on the bulletproof vest. He was wearing a throat guard. He had on a groin guard. He was wearing the gloves. I mean, he was probably wearing several hundred bucks worth of tactical gear, the kind of stuff that, like you say, SWAT guys wear. Must have ordered this for himself or what have you. Although he was affiliated with any SWAT team, and apparently was addressed for interaction with law enforcement. But what happened was that after he finished his shooting spree and law enforcement got there, they arrested him without any sort of incident. He was standing by his car in the back of the theater, and they apprehended him, and
yeah.
He didn't put up any kind of fight. So. I'm not really sure what he thought he was going to face walking into that theater, but he apparently didn't have the stomach for any babble there.
Yeah, and I'm curious, do you know the gun laws specifically dealing with concealed carry permits and things like that in Colorado? Do they have them?
There is a concealed carry law in Colorado. You can get a concealed carry permit in Colorado at the discretion of the sheriff of the county that you're in, but... But it doesn't sound like anybody in the theater except him was packing, which is kind of unfortunate, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, there is a concealed carry law in Colorado. One thing about this theater, this movie, they say their victims ranged in age. That I'm talking about the wounded as well as the people who were killed.
Yeah.
They ranged in age from 6 to 31. I mean, this was a Batman movie. It was PG-13.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of young people there, and they don't tend to be gun carriers as much as, say, the older folks.
Yeah, sure. All right. His apartment, that's been the focus of attention throughout the day. Evidently booby-trapped?
He apparently has some kind of configuration there with tripwires and explosives and chemicals. The police chief said he's never seen anything like it. They are proceeding very cautiously. They've evacuated all of the buildings around his apartment building, and they're trying to get in there and see if they can, you know, disarm the thing before without having to detonate it. But they're also the fire department there, because the fire chief's saying if they have to detonate it, we've just got to be ready to put out a fire, because it looks really complex. So here, this is a guy who, you know, was earning a PhD in science. I mean, he pretty much knew what he was doing when it came to chemicals.
Yeah. All right. So it could be quite a while before they get in there, which means a lot of people have been displaced for an indefinite period.
Oh, they're saying days. They're saying days. I mean, it doesn't sound like it's going to happen anytime real soon.
Yeah. All right. Now, let's talk about security in the area. I'm sure that there are other movie theaters around. Are they going to remain open? Are they going to be searching bags? I know here in Washington, they're saying some theaters have already resorted to that. Today, if you go to the movies, as an example, down, I think it's the Regal Cinema down at Gallery Place, if you go there, they're going to search your bags before you can go in. Same thing happening out there, do you know?
Yeah, I have heard that apparently they've got the theaters in this area have hired police presence. They one thing they were saying is that often there were off-duty policemen who had been hired to patrol the theater that was shot up. None of them were on duty, though, that night, last night. And so I think a lot of places are actually beefing up their security. I have heard that some places are going to check your bags. I'm also hearing, and maybe you can confirm this for me, that apparently the people distributing the theater out of Hollywood are thinking about maybe pulling it out of some theaters for the weekend.
Yeah,
so.
we just got word of that about, about a half an hour ago, that Warner Brothers was indicating perhaps a move to push this off for a few weeks and kind of let people heal from this as best as possible. So we haven't we haven't received the definitive word on that, but yes, we did indeed hear that within the last half hour. All right, from a local standpoint, from a political standpoint, I know that the mayor of Aurora spoke earlier. I know that the governor spoke earlier at the press conference. I heard the police chief as well. Are you hearing from other local politicians out there? Here's what I'm getting at, because we're already starting to hear the rumble about tighter gun control laws, about his political affiliation. Are you getting any of that kind of stuff?
You know, I think at this point most people are trying to kind of stay away from the politics. I mean, I have heard a rumble here or a rumble there. I think I might have heard somebody talk about how, you know, why do we keep letting this happen, you know, but whether that actually is an indication, you know, a slap at the gun laws, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Right now, you know, the governor came out, he actually was pretty staunch. He said something to the tune of, you know, we can't let these people who are basically deranged or aberrations of nature, you know, spoil us from living our life and enjoying our freedoms. So he said some pretty critical things.
Mm-hmm.
Most people tend to be saying, we feel very bad for the victims. We got to, you know, focus on them right now. This kind of thing obviously is going to, I'm sure, at one point or another, it's going to be used as an example of why, you know, tighter gun laws are needed, or why they need to reform their concealed carry law or some such. It will be interesting to see exactly what his status was in terms of how he obtained his guns, but that sort of inevitably follows. I'm sure the Brady campaign will be here, as much as it was after Columbine, and we're going to see some of that.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, I know you're busy. Thank you for joining me this afternoon, and I know you'll continue to update the website. I've been following that throughout the day at WashingtonTimes.com. So you take care and have a good weekend, Valerie.
Thanks, Andy. You too.
All right, bye-bye. Valerie Richardson of the Washington Times, live from Colorado. It is 4:57, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.